There's a lot that takes place in this chapter. A ton. If you go read the chapter, it's full of stuff. God is upset with his people. He's mad. God says, I'm not going with you. I'm going to send my angel. He'll go. The people mourn. They watch Moses go in the tabernacle for the, and the people are, and he intercedes for the people. Moses pleads to God for God's mercy, which he receives. God tells Moses that he'll go with them. Moses tells God that if you don't go with us, we're not going. All that happens, that's wonderful verses in this chapter. Moses asked to see the glory of God. He says, God, show me your glory. And in the next chapter, God shows Moses his backside. He gets to see the hind parts of God. But all in the busyness of this chapter, all that takes place in this chapter, all that's crammed into it is these little words about one man that the story has nothing to do about. This story isn't about Joshua. This story is about the children of Israel. It's about Moses interceding for them. It's about Moses seeing the glory of God. It's about Moses speaking to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend. But crammed right here in this chapter, verse 11, are these words. But his servant Joshua, whose servant? Moses' servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He stayed a little longer. Everybody else was leaving. They were turning the lights off in the church. And he stuck around because he found something worth waiting for. I believe that my children's generation, I believe that my generation, they need to see how we value the presence of God. The next generation needs to see the value of the presence of God. Moses said, if you don't go with us, then we're not going. Moses went into the tabernacle to talk to God about the circumstances, and Joshua saw all these miracles. Think about it. Joshua walked on the dry ground in the Red Sea. He saw the water flow from a rock. He was there when they said, what are we going to call this stuff that's coming down here? What is it? It's just some small round thing. And so they called it manna. Joshua, he ate manna every day provided by God. And when God sent quail, he ate the quail too. Every day God provided, and Joshua saw the move of God, saw the presence of God. He saw in Exodus 19 where the glory of God came down upon Mount Sinai, and they were commanded that they not touch the mountain, for God's presence was on the mountain. He saw the miracle of that. He saw the beauty of that. And in this young man's heart, something inside this young man said, I want something that what Moses has. He's got a connection that I don't have. I want that kind of connection. It was that presence of God that caught the attention of Joshua. The presence of God did it. The presence of God did it. Not fancy preaching, not fancy singing, not fancy lights, no smoke machine, none of that foolishness, none of that did it. What did it was simply the presence of God. Church believers, do you remember when you come to church and you had nothing? All you had was God. This church was built with people who simply believed that the presence of God was enough. Didn't have this light bar, didn't have the fancy things, didn't have the live Facebook feeds and the three screens and the big church building, just had a little chicken coop, right? Out here on the side of town, on a dirt road away from civilization, now on the corner of Felony Flats, right here, and the presence of God came, and people were saved And people were filled with the Holy Ghost, not because of the building, but because of God. Not because of the fancy things, but because of God. Come on, praise him. He's worthy of it, amen? He's worthy of it. We need to value the presence of God. It's the presence of God that separates us from the world. What makes us different from the concerts? What makes us different from the motivational speakers? What makes us different from all the things the world does in psychology and all that stuff? I'll tell you what makes the difference. It is the presence of God. That's what makes the difference. Because when God shows up, when we're singing, it ain't a concert anymore. It's a worship service. Amen? It's a worship service. And when the preacher's preaching, this ain't no motivational speech, brother. This is the word I'm preaching to you. And when it gets in your heart, it won't let you sleep at night. It'll put your heart on fire if you let it. The presence of God is what separates us. And what is sad today is the church has been reduced to a show. It's been reduced to the talented. We'll use you if you're talented. We'll use you if you have a good voice. We'll use you if you can actually, if you can actually get up and preach a little bit, we'll use you. But that's the church isn't built on that. The church has been built on the people who confound the wise. They're the weak things of the world confound the wise. I can tell you right now that I am one of those weak things that God has moved upon me. I'm just a weak thing. There ain't nothing special about me. Matter of fact, you follow me around, I got a ton of weaknesses. Follow me around. Amen. And if you're putting me on a pedestal, I'm about to knock me off right now. Because there ain't nothing good in me save Jesus Christ. And none of you would like me if I wasn't a Christian, because I was a mean, mean boy when I wasn't saved. And if I didn't like you, I let you know. I let you know. And I let you know in a few words you might not want to hear. I had no problem doing that. But now, as the presence of God has moved in my life, it is what's made the difference in my life and in my heart. Joshua, he saw the presence of God and he said, "This is what I want. I want this." The Bible said that when the cloud moved, they moved. When the fire moved, they moved. They moved with God moved. We need to move like that again. The song services need to be geared towards the moving of the presence of God. This ain't a scheduled out thing. If the Holy Spirit's moving, we need to move with his presence. It's the presence of God that takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. It takes a stuttering man like Moses and makes him the greatest speaker of his day. It takes a man like Samson, who's scrawny in build. They can't figure out where his great strength comes from, but they don't realize that he's tapped into a source not of this planet, and he's got muscles that aren't from this world, and he's mighty not because of him, but because of his promise, his blessings, his anointing that God has placed upon him, the presence of God. David was a great man, not because of himself, but because he was willing to be alone with the presence of God. And when David sinned against God, he wasn't concerned about his mansion. He wasn't concerned about the people. He wasn't concerned about anything else. He said, "Lord, take not thy spirit from me." The only thing he cared about was the presence of God being lifted from his life. What the devil can't confine or destroy, the devil cannot find or destroy anything in your life if you've been hid by the presence of God. No devil can find you or destroy you if you're in the presence of God. I want to say it again. No devil can find you or destroy you if you are hid in the presence of God. It is impossible for you to fail in his presence. You are never more mighty than when you know that God is with you. Never more mighty. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. The psalmist said, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities have overpassed. We find our safety in the presence of God. And we know that everything's all right when he's there. We're not afraid of the arrows by day. We're not afraid of the enemy. When it comes in like a flood, we're not fearful. We know in whom we have believed, and we are persuaded that he is able. We know that God has it in control when God's presence is with us. It was Paul and Silas that believed that God's presence would be with them in the prison house. They changed the prison house into a church house and made it a church place. Salvation happened there. The Spirit moved so mightily in that jail that the cells had to open up because freedom was running wild in there. All because they began to praise God in every circumstance. It's not necessarily that their backs were beat. It's the presence of God that come down that night. It's his presence. Joshua saw the presence of God and how valued it was. He saw the people mourning over it. He saw the people mourning over it. No wonder why the young man had to stay a little longer. Because he knew something was worth value in there. The next generation, my children, my generation, they need to see God's hand on the older generation. Joshua sat in awe of Moses, sat in awe as he saw God move upon this man. Joshua sat and watched the mighty miracles of God. No one else could go on the mountain, only Moses could. And Joshua watched from a distance as Moses disappeared into the mountain to be alone with God. No wonder why the disciples were in awe when Jesus was transfigured in Matthew chapter 17, transfigured before them, and he was in his glory, and they saw Moses and Elijah talking with them, and they saw this great mighty spectacle, and they watched as the cloud spoke and said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Joshua sat and watched Moses do the work of God, and when he saw God's hand on Moses, it inspired him to have his own experience with God. There's nothing better for a young man to see than the hand of God on an older man. I love to sit and listen to older preachers. I love it. I love older preachers. I love Chuck Swindoll. I think he's a phenomenal preacher. I know he's Baptist. Bless you, Brother Swindoll. I hope you get filled with the Holy Ghost someday. But I love that preacher. I love to listen to him preach. And I love the wisdom that flows from his life and where God's brought him from to where God has him. And when we get to heaven and all us Pentecostals and Baptists get together and we get off of our denominational problems, we're going to have a good time together. Amen. I'm so thankful for his preaching, his ministry. I'm so thankful for T.D. Jakes and his preaching. I love to hear that man preach. I can sit and listen to that man preach all day long. And when he starts preaching, I just sit there and go, "Oh, thank you for the anointing, Lord. Thank you for the word." I love to hear that. I'm not jealous of it. I thank God for it because I know if God can do it in him, God can do it in me. Come on, somebody. I want more of God. I'm not looking for the man. I want the God that the man has a hold of. That's what I want. I want a hold of the same God they got. You understand what I'm saying? There's a blessing upon it. I used to sit in awe when Brother Dethridge would get up to preach. He's not on television. He's not known worldwide. He's just known by a few people in the United States. Just a few people know his name. But I would sit there and listen to that great man preach. Sometimes go home crying as the Holy Ghost was speaking through him into my life. I'm telling you, I'd sit in awe when that man would preach because I wanted to hear what God had to say. And when he was done preaching, I'd go home and say, God, what you gave him, I want some of that. And today, God's hand resting upon the preachers, the anointing of his spirit resting upon the preachers is replaced by talent and good oratory skills. If you can get up and speak and not stutter, we'll use you. I want you to know that some of the greatest preachers I've ever heard were the driest preachers you'd ever listen to. But they are phenomenal men. Because the anointing is not in the fluctuation of my voice. It is not in my demeanor. It is not in my shout. It is not in my dance. It is in my connection with my God. The anointing has been reduced down to talents and oratory skills. And so we teach preachers how to preach. We teach them, and don't get me wrong, some preachers need to learn how to preach. Come on, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with developing and learning and harnessing and growing. I don't have a problem with that. But there has to be a connection. You understand what I'm saying? There's got to be a Holy Ghost connection. And when there's that connection, it will make a difference for all the horrible oratory skills. I cannot tell you how many times the Holy Ghost made the difference in my preaching because I didn't have anything good to say. And the Holy Ghost comes down and he gives me something good to say. I cannot tell you when I first got saved, I didn't believe in having notes. So I get up and just preach. And man, that was bad. Because anything just comes out. I don't have a path I'm on, so I'm just everywhere. If you knew, I started on a rabbit trail and came back on the rabbit trail. And so no one knew where I was going. But I was so thankful. I look back at my horrible preaching ability and the church is growing, people being filled with the Holy Ghost. Then I realized this obviously isn't about me. Come on now. It obviously is about God and the Spirit moving. His Spirit moving makes the difference. There was a preacher in Seymour, Missouri. What was his name? Brandon? Brother Brandon. I forget his last name. What was his last name? Forget it. Cantrell. Brother Brandon Cantrell. Man, I'm telling you, I love that guy. His spirit and my spirit, we knit together the moment we first met. He took me to his office. And I kid you not, his office was no wider than our broom closet. Matter of fact, it was narrower than our broom closet. And it was deeper, though. It was a little bit deeper. You could probably fit maybe a 3 foot, it was about 3 foot wide by maybe 6 foot deep. And it was a converted broom closet. He had a little desk like you would see in an old school sitting in the center of it. And I said, brother, your desk is awful small. It's not very high. How do you sit at that? He goes, oh, I don't sit at it. In this office, all I do is kneel. And he went into his office and he knelt down right there at that desk. And he told me, this is where my anointing comes from. And in that little room, shut in with God, I just sat in awe when I heard him say that. Because most preachers want an office big. I know because I have one big. Preaching against myself right now. Sorry, Lord. And it blessed me. And when that man got up to preach that service, he disappeared behind his big pulpit. He knelt down on the ground and he put his hands up. All you could see was his hands going like this. And he says, oh God, I need you bad right now. He couldn't speak very well either. He had a deep southern accent. And he was not educated in college or Bible college. He didn't have any of that. But the Spirit of God come down on that man. And when he'd preach, you knew God was in the house. An anointing rested on him. A power flowed with him. And all of it was because he found value in the power of God. He found value in the presence of God. Joshua stayed longer because he saw the hand of God on Moses. I'm going to have you go somewhere in a little bit, sis, and it's not in my notes. It's Joshua chapter 1. We're going to read some verses there, so just be prepared for it. The depth of your blessing, this is point 3. The depth of your blessing is determined by how long you stay. I said the depth of your blessing is determined by how long you stay. If all you want is a little, then all you're going to sow is a little. But if you want a lot, you sow a lot. Come on, somebody. You want more? Sow some more. You want more? Sow some more. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. I'm going to say it again. Don't be lazy. And expect the blessing for nothing. You don't get a paycheck because you didn't show up to work. You get a paycheck because you went to work. Right? I tell my son, I don't pay people to stand around when he's working with me. If you don't have something to do, ask me for something to do. And I'll tell you something to do. Even if it means jumping jacks, just do it. Right? You don't get paid for nothing. The blessings of God flow as we began to sow into our lives, the prayer meetings, the Bible studies. You're not going to get biblical knowledge just listening to me preach. You're going to get it reading your Bible. You're not going to get a touch of God because I lay my hands on you. You're going to get a touch of God because you've prayed to the place for the power of God to touch you. The depth of your blessing is determined by how long you stay. Joshua said, if I'm going to get what's mine, I better stay a little longer. I better stay a little longer. Let's go to Joshua. I've been preaching way too long. I feel annoyed. I could preach all night. I'm telling you, I feel it. Amen. Feel it. I could preach all night, but I'm not going to. You all want to go home, go to bed, and so do I. So, verse 1, now after the death of Moses, Moses has died, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now think about it. This is the man Joshua's been watching. This is the generation he saw the anointing of God upon. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Keep going. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Go again. For from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Oh, man. You missed your point to shout. I'm going to read it again. We'll do it again. That was test number 1. Here's test 2. As I was with Moses, amen, so I will be with you. That's the place to shout. No wonder why Joshua stayed a little longer. God didn't pick Joshua. Joshua picked God. Come on, somebody. This is why Joshua said, choose you this day. Make up your mind who you're going to serve. And he chose God, and God chose him back. No wonder why He stayed a little longer. Let me just conclude with this one, with this two little phrases. God is worth the wait. God is worth the wait. If you want more, wait a little while in Him. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, what a promised blessing. God is worth the wait. No wonder why Joshua stayed a little longer. I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall and hear the conversation that went on in the tent that day. When Moses was done with his prayer meeting, he's walking out, he's going on back. The people thought it was all over. Everyone thought this is all done. They got good news. But Joshua, he never came out of the tent. He stayed there. I believe that what we need today is another generation of young preachers willing to stay with God a little longer. Amen. That's why I so enjoyed Sister Amy's song tonight. He's more precious than silver. I enjoyed that tonight because God's worth it all. Amen. He's worth it all.